Let us turn again and consider verses you will find in the part of God's word that we read together in the Gospel according to John chapter 7, and we will consider verses 37 to 39, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. John 7 at verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because of Jesus was not yet glorified." This was the Feast of Tabernacles, when in particular the Israelites would gather in Jerusalem. It was one of the three occasions in the year that was required of them. And to commemorate their passage through the wilderness, they would live in tents. The word is the word booths is used. It just commemorated them. It reminded them of the wilderness journey that their ancestors had passed through. Now, on the last day of that feast, we are told, Jesus stood and cried. He lifted up his voice so that everyone would be able to hear. He stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And he went on, "He that believeth on me," which lets us know that what he has been speaking about, coming to him and drinking, that what he meant, it was to believe in himself. "He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his inward parts, shall flow rivers of living water." What did he mean by these rivers of living water? He was referring to the Spirit and the blessings that would come through the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the truth to such people as they were. "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was not yet, not in absolute terms, but he was not given in the way and to the extent that he was to be given following the ascension of Christ to heaven. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Let us try to say something, first of all, about the blessings to which the Saviour is pointing. The Holy Spirit, and more particularly, the effects of the Spirit's work. And then the call which Christ gave on that last great day of the feast, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's first the blessings, and second, the call. Well then, it was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it seems that the priest, he brought water, or had it brought to him from the nearby stream of Shiloh, and he would pour it out. And they would sing from Isaiah chapter 12, "Therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation." That was the ceremony that they were carrying out. It would seem a ceremony that had no scriptural authority, but you see, all these things that the Saviour saw happening around, he was well able to use as illustrations for the spiritual truth that, and the spiritual truths that he wished to convey to the people. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. It wasn't out of a physical well that the prophet was speaking. It was the well of salvation. It was a spiritual thing. And oh, how Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was pointing forward so often to the coming of Christ. Oh, he's pointing here to the fullness of blessing in the New Testament age, drawing water with joy. Weren't they drawing water with joy out of the wells of salvation in Old Testament times? Yes, of course. People like David and Isaiah and many another, they were drawing water with joy, drawing blessings, and praising God from the depths of their souls because of the blessings that were made available to them for the sake of the one who was yet to come. Yes. And how appropriate these words were, if they were able also to say what you have at the end of that short chapter. If they could indeed sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Who is the Holy One of Israel? Oh, surely it's God himself, but it's in the person of the Son that he was come into this world. And if they were to draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation in the time, say, of the apostles, or if we are able to draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation, if we are to receive spiritual blessings out of that infinite provision that has been made, a well from which such blessings can be drawn. Yes, it's because of the one that was to come in the fullness of time, the one who was the Holy One in the midst of the church in that age. He was brought as a child to the temple, and there were at least two who recognized the one that they had seen. There was Simeon, and he said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What was he saying? It was something like this: "I have drawn water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, this is the one, little child though he is, through whom, for whose sake I can go to heaven. I can depart this world now. I can go on my way to heaven because this one has come." Oh, believer, who have drawn water out with joy, with one degree of joy or another. You have drawn water. You have received blessings. You have recognized something of the blessings you have received. Oh, rejoice in that. And come again and again, that you might get more and more and more. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of his church today. The church may be weak, the church may be small, the enemies may have come in like a flood. They have taken over great parts of the church of God. But for all that, this is to be said, and it is to be said with joy. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And one thing we can add to that just now is this, that he is as able this evening, or in first sub, he is as able now as at any other time since Pentecost to do wonderful things in the church in whose midst he is. Yes, he is able. Of course, it would be appropriate if we were pray, believing that the Lord has not yet forsaken his church. There's a group of us meeting here. There's a group of believers meeting this Thursday evening of this communion season. Why? Oh, there's this in it. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of his church. Yes, and there's to go no further than our own denomination at this time. No one could do that. But there's various prayer meetings taking place this evening where a number of believers will gather, and they will do so because they've been drawn to Christ by almighty power. They have drank out of the well of salvation, and they are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And great is the Holy One of Israel in every such gathering. And there are two other congregations in connection with us who are gathering this Thursday evening at a communion season also. And what they have every right to say is, we still have the means of grace, and we still have communion season. Communion seasons continue to us, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of his church. Yes, he has done excellent things. He has done. And one could go over swathes of church history to demonstrate that. I'm not going to do it, but perhaps your own minds can look back to days of God, gospel blessings. Let me just refer briefly to those gatherings in Uig in the 1820s, when Alexander MacLeod was minister there. Perhaps the particular communion season when John MacDonald appeared, one would imagine unexpectedly. Oh, would they not say on that day, on such days, great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of his church now. Yes, there were rivers of living water. They had been to the wells of salvation. There was water being poured out. Yes, the Lord's servants were involved in that. But further, you see, especially there was the Holy Spirit who had been given at the time of Pentecost in that full sense that he dwells within his church in the New Testament age. Now, another thing that the priests were doing, it seems at the Feast of Tabernacles, it was to chant these verses from Psalm 118. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Well, Sadly, the priests at that time, they were ignoring and rejecting the Holy One of Israel who had come in their midst. Are we seeking the gracious presence of the Holy Spirit among us? And the gracious presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that with joy we might draw water out of these wells of salvation? Yes. Oh, there's a question. It's one thing to be quoting Scripture. It's one thing to be attending the means of grace. It's another matter to be drawing water out of the wells of salvation, even to be exercised in one's soul desiringly. Now there's some. A person may have no real consciousness of drawing water, of getting a blessing, and yet there's a desire that is taking possession of that soul. Oh, if that is the case with you, then hesitate before you deny that you have taken a drink from the well of salvation, that well that is so full and so free, that well to which Christ was so earnestly inviting sinners, as I hope to notice yet in more detail. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What encouragement! If anyone here is thirsting, especially in the sense of having deep longings, or even some degree of spiritual desire. Oh, I know that that form of words may raise questions. Is mine a spiritual desire and so on? But come anyway. The Lord is speaking to you anyway. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes. Now, clearly, the Savior, it was pointing to the Holy Spirit and the blessings of the Holy Spirit out of his belly, out of his inward parts shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of blessings. Oh, what blessings there are. We've been thinking of it to some extent in terms of the well of salvation. But you have the same thing in very often, various things, and they are in one passage spoken of according to one comparison. In another passage, it is another comparison. And although in Isaiah 12, the reference is to wells of salvation, here it is if a flowing out. And it doesn't matter. We're not to get concerned as to which of these is the best or anything of that nature. They are both pointing to the blessings that flow out for the sake of Christ. Think of the vision that Ezekiel saw. It's recorded in chapter 47 of his prophecy. And he saw the waters coming out from under the door of the temple, and they increased and increased and increased. But notice this. They came out at the south side of the altar. They came in such a way that this was made clear. There was a connection with the sacrifice. They came out from the dwelling place of God. The temple, it was the dwelling place of God, where the cloud was, that represented God's actual presence. It was there in a special way, and that was the source of the blessings. But we're not to leave off our consideration at that stage. We're to think of the altar where the sacrifices were being offered up. Oh, how is it that we can get blessings? Yes, we've already recognized, I hope, that they come for the sake of Christ. But that's not all that we're to think of. There's this. It's Christ as a sacrifice that is the source of blessing. Christ as a sacrifice. Christ as the fulfillment of all these sacrifices that were offered in Old Testament time. Sacrifices that might well have been being offered when Christ was speaking here. Yes. These blessings of salvation, to express it in a general way, the blessings of salvation, where's the foundation for them? How can sinners get blessing? How can you get a blessing? How can I possibly get a blessing seeing we are sinners? It's because of the altar and the sacrifices of the altar. And it's because of what these were pointing forward to. It was the great high priest offered up by him who was to come in God's great name to save. Ah, he has come. He has finished the work that was given him to do. And that is why he can say to sinners here, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He has finished the work that was given him to do. The sacrifice has been offered and the sacrifice has been accepted. Think of that. Oh, how can I be so sure that the sacrifice was accepted? And what I would particularly point to just now is the fact of the resurrection. Christ died. That was part of the work that was given him to do. He was buried. But he did not remain in the grave. Death hadn't conquered him. He had offered himself up as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And because justice is satisfied, he rises on the third day. Yes, he is risen. Oh, what an expression. He who died in the place of sinners, he is risen. Oh, let that be proclaimed throughout the world. It's not a dead Savior that we have to proclaim. It's the one who died. Yes, that is so, and that is crucial. But we don't stop there. We ought not to stop there. The one who died has risen. The one who died is on the throne of glory. And from that throne of glory is saying to sinners and to his people this evening, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his inward parts, shall flow rivers of living water. And that seems to send us back to Isaiah chapter 58 at verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. The thirsty soul, and make fat thy bones, and there shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Now it's not an exact quotation by any means. It's more in the nature of a reference. And the Savior knew what he was doing when he was making use of the word of God in that way. He who gave the word, that is divine person, of the Godhead who gave the word, he can take it and express it. He has all the authority he needs. He has infinite authority to express previously revealed scripture in whatever form he will. Yes, the living waters, the living blessings that are given to sinners when they believe in Christ, living blessings. Whatever blessing of salvation you think of, grace in the soul, the grace of prayer, living desires in the soul, a living faith in the one who was crucified, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in the soul. As the Savior said of him, "If I depart, I will send him unto you." The Holy Spirit was not yet. The word given is in italics. It helps, no doubt, to understand the sense. The Holy Spirit was not yet. He was not yet glorified. "I will send him, though," he says. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will bring spiritual blessings." Oh, how great these blessings are. Have you considered them? Have you felt led to explore these blessings? To think of the length and the depth and the height, and the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of these blessings. The length and the breadth and the depth and the height, one might say, of the well of salvation. And particularly now that the Holy Spirit has been poured out, as happened in a particular way in the day of Pentecost. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the one day. The Holy Spirit was to be poured out through the ages. And oh, how wonderfully the Holy Spirit will be poured out when these better days will come, when Christ will be present in his church with and exercising his power in a particularly liberal way, when Satan will be bound up. Oh, what days, what desirable days. It's not what we live in, yet we're to be deciding. And we're to be designing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our time. Yes, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in the heart of sinners, for the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, said Paul. The Holy Spirit working within them. The Holy Spirit having come to work in regeneration and then to advance grace. Yes. Oh, believer, think of what the Lord is able to do for you yet, and what he will. Think of the preparation, for instance, that he will carry out by the Holy Spirit when you are ready to be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the King and to abide there forever. Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit in the soul. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm sure you have every right to substitute any of the blessings of salvation for righteousness. Central and all, though this righteousness is. Desirable and all, as this righteousness is. But whatever there is in the great overflowing well of salvation, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for it. Blessed are they that have an earnest living desire in their souls for they shall be filled. Let us turn then now to emphasize more, for a little while, the call, if any man thirst, let him come, said Christ, unto me and drink. If any man is thirsty, if any man, if any woman here is thirsty, Christ has this message. Come and drink, come and receive from the wells of salvation. What are you thirsting for? What desires have you got? Is it for the forgiveness of your sin? Come and receive from Christ. Come to the well of salvation and take a deep, deep drink. Is it for growth and grace? Is it for grace in the first place? Is that what you're looking for? Is that what you're thirsting for? Oh, listen, listen. If any man thirst, Christ is saying, let him come unto me and drink. But oh, what is meant by thirsty? What is meant by coming to drink? Well, first of all, let us seek an explanation in our text. And we will find it in these words, he that believeth on me. He that believeth on me. That's taking a drink out of the well of salvation. Receiving from Christ. Receiving blessings from Christ. Blessings that are freely offered to sinners. Come then, trust in Christ for the salvation of your own soul. Yes. Or we could go for an explanation to a verse in John chapter 6. He that believeth on me, he says, shall never thirst. So what we are to draw from that is that to believe is to drink from that well of salvation. To believe is to drink. To drink is to believe. And over against these, you have this parallel expression, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. You are believing put against coming. You have these two taken as what will, on the one hand, take away a hunger, on the other hand, take away a thirst. In other words, what will satisfy the soul. Yes, and that's introduced with these words, I am the bread of life. I am the life-giving bread. The bread that we may take at a meal, say, a meal after this service, it's intended to sustain life. If we abstain from food for a period of time, life would pass out of our bodies. Yes, but this is life-giving. This is life-giving. Oh, dead sinner here this evening, come to Christ. Trust the message that he has given in his revelation. Come as you are invited in these words of our text. I stress these words particularly. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, some would say, and perhaps you might have thought that I was implying that in the way I expressed the invitation earlier. Some do think that this is addressed to those who are conscious of their need, conscious of their spiritual need. Well, that is so, but it's not only directed to them. Sinner here who is conscious of spiritual need, conscious of sin, conscious of condemnation, come to Christ, come and receive if what he is able to give you. Come and receive what he is so willing to give you, all the blessings of salvation. And remember, the river comes from God, from the eternal purposes, from the eternal love of God to lost sinners. And it comes by the way of the altar. Look to Christ. Come and receive the blessings that he is offering to you for the sake of the sacrifice that he was then to offer. Yes, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But, you see, it's not just those who are conscious of their need. See how the one revealing himself as wisdom, and that is Christ, was saying in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, "And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." We're to be very careful that we don't narrow the invitations of the gospel, that we don't narrow down those to whom they are addressed. I read not so long ago John Kennedy of Dingwall being referred to, and saying something like this, that the emphasis in such invitations in connection with thirst, for instance, is on the state of the sinner, not, and I'm really paraphrasing here, not on the consciousness that the sinner has of his desire. "And to you, O men, I call." That's it. And to sinners. Christ is calling to sinners. Christ is calling to sinners here this evening. Not those who are conscious of their sins, or conscious, what I really mean is conscious that they have been convinced of their sins. Many a one has asked, "Am I sufficiently convinced of my sins?" Well, that's not a question for you. If you're waiting to be further convinced of your sin, then let me tell you what you are doing. You are rejecting Christ. That's what you're doing. You're going on in your unbelief. There's at least a strong element of unbelief in saying, "I cannot come to Christ yet. I must wait for further conviction. I must wait till my sins are made more clear to me." Oh, it's salvation for sinners that is proclaimed in the Word of God. Sinners, that's it. Not some qualification like convinced sinner. If any man thirst, you see. If any man is thirsty, if any man needs water from the well of salvation, let's take it to that. If any man needs water from the well of salvation, let him come, let him not delay. Come, sinner, then. Come this evening. Come. Don't wait till you would go home. Come now. Look to Christ now. Trust in him now. If any man thirst, anyone, male or female, of course, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him come without delay. Here's a suitable Savior. Oh, what water. What a freely offered water. It's free. It's without money and without price. Here the prophet Isaiah asks, or God asking through the prophet, "Wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread, and you labor on that which satisfieth not? Why waste your money? Why waste your effort? Why waste your time?" on the things of this world. Why waste your time on seeking for salvation in some other place rather than Christ? You see, many a thing people might say, oh, if I could hear that particular preacher again. Oh, never mind the preacher. Remember this preacher. Remember the one who stood on the last day of the feast and he cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's for you. Take it, sinner. Take it. Don't be looking for qualifications in yourself, for you haven't got any, and you never will. Don't be treating conviction of sin, serious though that matter is, necessary though that matter is, but we're no judges of what conviction of sin is. What I really mean is what degree of conviction we need. Oh, if any man thirst, Christ is saying to you, let him come. Let him come on this day. There was no doubt a particular relevance on that day of tabernacles, that day when they might hear these words repeated about drawing with joy out of the wells of salvation. Oh, someone else might say, I don't feel the joy that I feel I should have. Well, what will I say to you? I'll say this to you. Go back to the well of salvation. Don't be looking for good things in yourself. Yes, you might look for marks of grace. That's one. But although you would be looking for marks of grace, still, remember the well of salvation. Go to the well of salvation. Stop a minute longer and hear these words again. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Why, though, will sinners not believe? Well, let us listen to the answer that the Saviour gives. He will not come to me that you might have life. If you're still away from Christ, if you're still refusing to come to that overflowing well of salvation, there's an unwillingness in your soul. Yes, you will not come. It's not a reference to the future. It means you are unwilling to come. Come, though. Whatever your unwillingness, there's something in this water that takes away the unwillingness of sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Sinners are unwilling. And there's something in this water. Oh, someone might say, I must wait until I'm made willing. I must wait for the Holy Spirit. Well, you need the Holy Spirit, that is true. But where is the Holy Spirit to be found? In the well of salvation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Yes. But what's happening? My people have committed two evils, the Lord was saying through Jeremiah. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is that what you're doing yourself? Where are you looking for satisfaction in this world? You'd hear this evening, and that's good. You know where Christ is. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, and though you might not be here in the name of Christ, that you should be just here because your parents have taken you, or for some such reason. Still, you've heard this. You've heard it a great number of times. Perhaps there's somebody asking themselves, why is he repeating that so often? Well, because it's so significant. A statement from the Bible. So significant are these words of Christ. And if you will not hear them, if you will not listen to them, if you will not obey them, when I repeat them once or twice or three times, I repeat them any number of times further in the hope that it may please the Lord of glory, in the hope that it may please the Holy Spirit to apply them to your soul. Yes, if any man thirst, if anyone is in need, let him come to Christ and drink and receive out of that fullness of blessing that there is for needy sinners. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who has come to Christ already, though they may be questioning that. But you see, there's an answer in the Bible to every difficulty that we may have, whether we can think of it at any particular time or other. But listen to this. Whatever need you particularly feel this evening, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. Now that's the felt experience of that person, not the objective reality. Because that well is always near at hand, but this believer may not always be conscious of it. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, what then? I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. How is that? Well, it's because of this, that although you might not feel conscious of it at this moment, there's a well of water very near to you, and there's a Savior who is still calling to you. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, we are told at verse 43 that there was a division among the people because, and let me just point you to the solemn division that there will be on the day of judgment. You must come to Christ before then. Oh, will you not come to Christ now? Why should you stay away any longer? Hear this other call given through Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Come and receive freely from the one that is set before us in this text, who is still saying to you, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, make us willing to have Christ work in our hearts. Do not leave us to ourselves. Save us from our foolishness. And thou knowest our folly. Thou knowest our folly of every kind. The folly of us all in so many ways. Could, O Lord, take away the foolishness of those who are staying away from Christ. Come by thy Holy Spirit to make them willing. Come to draw them, O Lord. Help us to pray. Give us the spirit of prayer. Work powerfully in the hearts of each one of us. Wash away our sin. Bless the other days of this communion season. Other communion seasons too. Oh, come among us thyself. Oh, that we would be thirsting for thy presence. Thirsting for the well of salvation. Thou art able to satisfy us. Lord, do so. Prepare us for eternity. Pardon us, keep us, and bless us. Forgive us all our sin. Make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.